Moving into hour number three. Welcome back. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm in California. I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's going to be a busy third hour. Nice to have you here. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, a conversation with a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, Devon Kennard. But as promised, we start our third hour by having a conversation with a forward for the Charlotte Hornets. He averaged better than 12 points, 5 rebounds, and a couple of assists per game as a rookie. He was an All-American at Kentucky. He was a McDonald's All-American. He was the 12th pick overall in 2019. He is working with SportBlocks and PJ Washington, Inc. We are joined by PJ Washington. PJ, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Listen, there are a number of things I want to talk to you about, including SportBlocks, which is a really interesting proposition. But what has life been like for you since the season ended? What have you been up to, and what kind of things you've been working on?
Life's been pretty good. Just trying to stay in shape, just trying to stay ready for when the next season starts and whenever pretty much we get to play again. So I've been working on a lot of different stuff and just trying to stay active.
All right, so you were drafted last summer out of Kentucky. Let me get your thoughts on that. When you look back on your time at Kentucky and your time with Coach Calipari, what kind of memories do you have?
All good memories. I feel like Coach Calipari put me in a great position to be where I am today. Without him, I obviously wouldn't be here. So I appreciate him, and pretty much everything I've done in Kentucky has only made it easier for me to transition to the NBA.
I love Lexington. I love Cal. I love Las Vegas. I think that's a great place. PJ Washington is joining us. You know, Kenny Payne, who was an assistant with you when you were at Kentucky, is now with the Knicks. He talked about how back at Kentucky, everything ran through you in the final 6 minutes of the game. So what did it mean to you to know that on a team that was loaded with that much talent, they were always going to look to you when it mattered most?
I think it meant a lot, and it just goes to show that I was one of the leaders on the team, and I put so much work in to be in that position. With those guys on that team, I feel like we had a really talented group. And obviously, we had some great coaches. So I'm just happy to be a part of the – I was happy to be a part of the team and happy to be where I am today.
Now, there are stories about some legendary workouts that you went through with Coach Payne, including one that's a half hour of alternating between 45-second sprints on the treadmill and then a minute of defensive slides. Like, what do you remember about those sessions?
Yeah, I mean he put me through hell. Those were the good old days. I mean, we used to do those workouts pretty much all the time. Some days we would do it before practice, and then we would work out during practice and after practice. So it was just a lot of working out and a lot of training I had to go through. But, I mean, without that, I don't think I would have been here.
We're talking to PJ Washington. So when you're at Kentucky, obviously you're going to compete at the highest level in college, but then the NBA is a totally different level from that. And yet in your first game as a pro, you just drop right in, you score 27, then you get a double-double in game two, then you go 23-8 a few games after that. So I'm curious, what was the transition like from college to the NBA? Was it what you expected?
Yeah, I mean, I expected the NBA to be a lot faster and the pace to be a lot different. Obviously, we're playing against a lot better players, but I think the transition was easy for me just coming from a program like Kentucky where they pretty much mold you into a pro from day one. So with Coach Cal and Coach Kenny Payne, they pretty much did that a great job of that for me, and it made the transition a lot easier.
Talking to PJ Washington, you know, one of the things that keeps coming up from your coaches and your teammates is the fact that you seem to make the right play all the time. Marvin Williams, for one, said, quote, "I was like, geez, man, it's been like this dude has been doing this for a long time. It's kind of scary, honestly," end quote. He went on to say that sometimes he didn't remember that you were only a rookie. Like, for those who don't know, your parents both played at Middle Tennessee State. Your mom, Sherry, averaged 20-10. So how much of your game comes from your parents directly?
I think a lot of it. I mean, my physicality definitely comes from my father, and I feel like my skill set comes from my mom. So, I mean, they definitely helped me get to this point. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and I appreciate them for it.
All right, so then the pandemic comes, and the league shuts down, and then your season is over. Well, I mean, it was just so strange and so unusual for everybody. What was it like for you to have your season end the way it did?
I think it was crazy. I mean, after the last game, we were in Miami. We had just beat the Heat. And we're in the locker room, and they're talking about the season's about to end. We're just like, what? Like, we're ready to go home, go play our next opponent. But, I mean, that was definitely shocking for us. And we definitely didn't know where to go from there. So I think our biggest thing was just try to stay in shape and just try to be ready if the season does resume.
Talking to PJ Washington. Now, you played with Tyler Herro at Kentucky, and you've been hyping him for a while. What do you make of the way he has shown up in the postseason so far?
I mean, I expect that from him. I mean, he's a great worker. I mean, he works for it every day in a gym. He's one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. So everything he's doing on the court, I've definitely seen him do before in workouts and definitely on the court at Kentucky. So, I mean, Tyler's a great player and he has a great future. So, I mean, I expect nothing less from him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been lights out for sure. PJ Washington joining us. Now, back in July, you did a video with GQ. Where you broke down how you approached your finances as a rookie. You're working with a financial advisor. One of the first steps that you took was to put 20% of everything you earn into a spending account and 80% into a savings account. What was the thinking behind that?
Just wanted to save as much money as possible. You see a lot of guys nowadays where they'll be in the league making a lot of money, and then a couple years later they'll won't have any money. So I just didn't want to be one of those guys. I just wanted to try to find my way to basically create wealth through my contracts and basically live the way I'm living the rest of my life. So my biggest thing is just trying to save as much money as possible right now.
All right, so it's really smart and it's really disciplined, and a lot of people, especially young people, would not go about it that way, or maybe they would try it and not stick with it. Has it been tough for you to stick to that budget?
No, I mean, I'm a very cheap guy, so I don't really buy too many things anyway. Whenever I want something, I'll go buy it. But, I mean, if I don't think it's smart, I'm not going to buy it at all. So I just try to stick to those rules and just be safe with my spending.
All right, so, PJ, in terms of that, you did treat yourself to a couple of cars. What did you go with, and what was the thinking behind that?
Well, I wanted to get a car, and I wanted to get a truck. My first car, I bought it because when I came back to school for my sophomore year, a couple of my old teammates came to school. And they had the car, and I was just like, wow, like, this is pretty much everything I've ever wanted. So, I mean, once I got it to the NBA, that's the first car I got. So, and then I got a truck as well, just because I'm a big guy, and I can't really drive cars all the time because my knees tend to hurt. So, I got both.
Dude, what kind of car, though? What was the first car?
A Porsche Panamera.
Ooh, that's what I'm saying. Okay, good, man. You earned that. You should treat yourself to a nice ride. Now, what about fashion? When it comes to fashion, can you just kind of roll in wearing whatever you want? Or when you're on a team with guys like, say, Dwayne Bacon, do you have to step up your fashion game?
No, yeah, you definitely have to step up your fashion game. We have a lot of guys on our team who are into fashion and try to wear their best fits pretty much every game. So guys like Dwayne Bacon, obviously, Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, those guys pretty much have so much clothes. And it's definitely interesting because I'm pretty much into fashion, too. Not as much as I used to be, but I'm definitely excited to come to the next game with something new.
PJ Washington is my guest. He's working with Sport Blocks, which I'm going to get to in 1 minute. Also, PJ Washington, Inc. Hey, listen, very clearly you're thinking about basketball primarily. You're taking care of yourself, taking care of your game, and you're thinking about your business off of the floor. In fact, you've talked about in the future you would like to own a car dealership. Why is that a business you want to get into? Why do you want a dealership?
Growing up, my dad used to work in the car business, and he worked at CarMax. So he used to be able to drive different cars home at different nights. So I used to love that, and I used to love him driving big trucks and small cars and just all kind of stuff. So as a kid, that's something I wanted to do and something I wanted to get into.
I get that, man. I'm a car guy. I like that a lot. Now, I mentioned off the top, you and Sport Blocks have announced a really interesting partnership. I've known about this proposition and I've always been interested in this. Lay it out for me. What exactly is Sport Blocks?
Sport Blocks is basically an online financial platform that allows people to invest in sports. So, pretty much people can invest in my business and I'll be making contributions back. So investors can receive basically up to 5% of their return and plus upsides from operations in a corporation when they invest.
All right. So lay that out for me. Like, am I buying a piece of your business? Am I investing in your contract, your off the floor earnings? Exactly. What am I investing in? How does that work?
You're investing in my business. So basically, I'll make contributions to the corporation that fund returns, basically to investors. And my operations for my business tend to marketing, wealth managing, and recruiting.
All right, so how did you first get interested in this idea, and how did the fans get involved?
So the idea came back before I got drafted, and we've been working on it this whole year, and we just finalized everything. So I'm very excited about it, and pretty much you can fans can get involved by going to sportsblx.com to find out more and invest.
Are there other players or other athletes in other sports? Are you the first? Like, who else can we invest in after we invest in you?
Well, I'm the first official player partner, but, I mean, I definitely see athletes coming in the future. I don't see why not. I think it's a smart investment, and it's a great way to create wealth off the court.
Dude, I think it's fascinating. Like, if I buy shares, does that give me a direct line to you? Can I say, yo, man, are you getting your work in? Are we going to get some dividends here?
Yeah, no. I mean, I definitely don't think that'll be possible. But I mean, I'll definitely.
I'm not worried about you, man. I know you're working. I like it. All right, so we can invest in. Okay, finally, then, am I investing in PJ Washington Inc. if I do this?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I can ask for. He's a forward for the Hornets. He averaged better than 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. Working with SportBlocks and PJ Washington, Inc., where you can invest in his business. PJ, great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. That was fun. It's a really interesting proposition. Like, you're investing in the athlete. And, you know, there are other ways to invest in sports, as we know. You can play fantasy. You can gamble. You can bet. But this is the first I've seen where you can invest in an athlete and his business. SportBlocks. He's sharp. Okay, 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. I've got Devon Kennard coming up. I think it goes without saying. The Arizona Cardinals, to me, are one of the most fascinating teams in the NFL right now. Really curious to see how that goes. And the NFC West is nasty. And we've got football. I mean, weird as it seems, we are going to have NFL action this weekend. In fact, weird as it seems, we're going to have NFL action tomorrow. It just seems really strange, right? Like, I know this is not the case, and I'm not trying to be irresponsible in any way. I know this is not the case, but because there was no exhibition season and we haven't been watching and seeing what's going on, does it not feel like these guys are just going to step right off the street into NFL games? I mean, that's not the case, obviously, but it just feels like that. It's so weird and surreal and awesome. NFL action starting tomorrow. And by that, what I mean also is we can finally talk NFL news, actual NFL news, actual NFL matchups. Finally. Have you looked at it finally? Have you looked at any of the games this weekend? Have you been breaking that down yet? It's already Wednesday. It's game week. You should be. I was thinking about that big fat head James Kelly. I'm like, man, do I bring him back for a pick segment? I know he's been on it. I know James Kelly has been on it. I know he's looking at the matchups. Also, the last day and a half or so, I was into you pretty hard, clones, talking about how whack you've been since I came back from that 3-day weekend. Today, you've done much better. And you know who I got to give credit to? I would love to take the credit myself. I got to give the credit to old Trapper. I really think the What's Your Beef segment got you clones right back to where you needed to be. Your contributions have been much better today. So if I'm going to go way out of my way to tell you when you're horrible, I got to tell you when you're good. And today you've been much better. Keep it up. Keep it up. Also, I've got a podcast. Normally I'm out in front of this. A really good episode of the Jim Rohn podcast. NBA skills trainer, Drew Hanlon. I don't know if you know him or not. He is one of the more fascinating guys I've ever seen. Just 30. He's been training NBA players since he was 17. And he's got some superstar clients, and he's got an amazing philosophy and an approach. He's only 30 and one of the more fascinating guys I've ever spoken to, literally. Drew Hanlon is my guest on episode 142 of the Jim Rohn podcast. We will push that out a little bit later on today. All right, when we come back, Devon Kennard, Cards linebacker, joins us. So I've got one question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. And believe me, it's that. Do not get fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same, not even close. Make sure that you choose Old Trapper. Choose it because you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. You want to know what you're buying. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouth-watering flavors. Old Fashioned, with a hint of brown sugar sweetness, teriyaki, peppered, and for those of you who need a little more zing, there's hot and spicy. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and provide real, sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Make Old Trapper part of your weekly grocery list and keep a good supply on hand for you and your family. If you don't see it, just ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. Clones, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
NFL is back, not a second too soon. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are joined right now by a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. He signed a three-year deal with them. Seven sacks each of the last 2 years with the Lions. He was a team captain 2 years in a row in Detroit. He was a Detroit Lions Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Played his college ball at USC. He was the 174th pick overall in 2014. Arizona coming off a 5-10-1 season last year. They open up at San Francisco on Sunday. Devon Kennard is my guest. Devon, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Now, you and I spoke in March, shortly after you signed with Arizona, so bring me up to date. I mean, God, March. March feels like so long ago. What's it like to be Wednesday on game week, knowing that this Sunday you're playing the 49ers in a big divisional game?
Man, you're right. It feels like a lifetime ago since we last spoke, but, man, I'm excited. You know, exciting times being able to season being here, playing first game, going to San Francisco, divisional game. And, you know, I like where we're at and I like the preparation we're putting in, and it's going to be a great one on Sunday.
You know, the team posted a great video from last month where you were mic'd up for the first day in pads in 8 months. What did that feel like to be back in pads, hitting, making contact, and working out with intensity?
Man, it felt good, you know, to go that long without playing some ball. You know, usually you have OTAs and everything. So, you know, for things to be pushed back the way they were and to finally have that first day of pads and hit somebody for the first time, it felt good. But, you know, after a week or two of that, you're ready to hit some other colors. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to that.
Devon Kennard's joining us. You know, you tweeted something also the other day that just blew my mind. Did you really just finish up your seventh training camp? I mean, it feels like yesterday that you were at USC. Does it feel like time has flown by to you, or does this all feel kind of normal?
Man, times flew. I feel like every year in the NFL goes faster and faster. You get more comfortable. You know, you get in a routine, and the days just start to fly. So to think I'm in my seventh year and you know, been blessed enough to play for some great organizations and to start my whole career, it's been an awesome journey, and I'm excited to be playing for the Cardinals now and going into a big season.
Well, not only that, but you've come full circle in the sense that you get to come back home. Like when you signed, you talked about the excitement and the opportunity about coming back home. What has the reality been like? I mean, how good has it been to be a member of the Cardinals so far and to be back so close to where you grew up?
I think recently it's finally kind of actually hit me. Like we break camp and I just get to drive home to my house and you know, after practice get to go home and see some of my family and things like that. So it's definitely hit me, and it's a blessing, you know, being able to play in your own backyard. I grew up not even 15 minutes away from our practice facility. So, you know, it's been a pleasure just being able to be around and play for an organization that I watched for so long.
Devon Kennard joining us. Also, as we touched on, your dad, Derek, played for the Cardinals back in the day. Sunday, you'll be playing for the Cardinals in a regular season game for the first time. Like, what do you think that's going to feel like? It's going to be a road game, but do you think it'll feel different playing for your hometown team?
You know, I take some pride in it. You know, I feel like that's the case regardless playing in the NFL, but I feel a little more. You know, it's a team and organization, like you said, my dad played for. I grew up watching and going to games just being from here. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in being an Arizona Cardinal and wanting us to be successful and have a great year. So, you know, I'm highly invested in the success of this team and what we're going to be able to accomplish.
All right, so there's a lot of great energy, a great vibe, and a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. You're expected to partner with Chandler Jones on the other side. As you've worked with him so far and watched him, what sticks out to you the most in terms of what makes him so special as a player?
His consistency, his hand placement, the way he gets off, the way he works his moves, he's very detailed in his work, and that's something I could appreciate and things I've tried to pick up just being his teammate. So it's been a pleasure, and I'm excited to see what he does.
You know, he was talking about your versatility as well. He was talking about the fact that you can switch sides and you can do multiple things. So when it comes to the games, how much are you expecting to be feeding off of each other?
That's definitely the plan, allow him to do what he does, and we can both move around and be versatile within it and put whatever we can do to put ourselves in a position to be successful and help our team win.
Devon Kennard is joining us. Now, a few days back, you did something really cool. Because of COVID, you're not able to physically visit kids at Phoenix Children's Hospital. So instead, you did some virtual visits via a robot that went from room to room. What was that like?
Man, it was cool. You know, this time of year, everywhere I've played, I've really dove into the community and tried to make an impact off the field. And with COVID right now, I haven't been able to do that as much. But, I was given an opportunity, and they told me about the robots in the hospital. And I was able to spend some quality time with a kid in the children's hospital and just talk to him about sports, life, and everything else. And it was a really cool experience. You know, I wish I could have been there in person, but I think that was the next best thing.
Now, one of the patients did ask you if you would break out a special celebration for a good play in week one or week two. Have you been working on anything in particular, or are you going to break something out if you do?
Man, he showed me what he wanted me to do. I've practiced it in the mirror a couple times, so I might have to break it out for him once I get my first sack.
Got to. All right, so as some people know, away from the field, you've quietly been investing in real estate. The story goes, before your final year at USC, you had suffered your third significant injury, and you were essentially asking yourself, what if this doesn't happen for me? What if the NFL is not an option? It could be a pretty scary moment. What was it like to ask yourself that question, and then what did you come up with as an answer?
It was very, very humbling. You know, when you go through injuries and you feel like your childhood dream is on the line, it's like, all right, what do I want my life to look like? And one decision I made is I wanted to be successful with or without football, and I wanted the same quality of life that I've always dreamed of. And I obviously wanted that life through playing in the NFL, but I realized even if I didn't, I wanted that same life. So, I needed to figure out what the other thing was going to be for me, or what else was I was passionate about. And, by the grace of God, I started to learn and figure out and have great mentors and learned about real estate. And that's something I dove into immediately.
I think you made a really good point too recently. You were having a conversation with Forbes.com and you said, quote, "No one is going to be as interested in me as they are right now, and that window has been pretty big for me," end quote. Like, I've seen this time and time again, it can be really easy to get caught up in the fame and the money and to think that it's never, ever going to end. So how were you able to take a step back and realize, there is a good chance that when I retire, people may not be as interested in me?
I think it's very essential to kind of build those relationships now. Because, if I have a relationship with you that's built while I was playing, even when I'm done, we'll be able to still have a relationship, and you kind of know me as a player, not me as a person, not just a player. But, when you don't do that and you don't build relationships, you don't build a network, and you get done playing and you don't have that, and you try to start reaching out to people, they're less interested at that point. So that's something, having a father play in the NFL and kind of hearing things he's told me over the years, and then just what I've observed through, college and even in the pros of how different guys handle things, is something that I picked up and was like, all right, this is how I want to operate, and I want to, build that network now. So I have so many doors open and opportunities and relationships that I can lean on, for the rest of my life.
I think that's so smart. And then finally, knowing that, having that perspective, how much does that influence how you approach your investments away from the field?
I think it's a huge part of it. When you have a good network and you have people you can lean on who are experts and at the best of their respective field, now you get to lean on their expertise. And what are you doing? Is there opportunities for me to invest alongside you? Is there opportunities for me to learn from you, or to for you to introduce me to some of the people that you know? So that's kind of where the advantage comes with that.
He's a linebacker with the Cardinals. He signed that 3-year deal with Arizona, 7 sacks each of the last 2 seasons. And this thing starts right back up this weekend. You've got Arizona at San Francisco on Sunday. Devon Kennard, my guest. Devon, great to have you back. Really appreciate that. Eager to see how you look in that uniform. And it's great to always talk to you on this show.
Man, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. I'll take you up on that. Always enjoy that conversation. And that keeps alive the streak that pretty much everybody who has ever played football at USC who has come on this show is an excellent interview with great energy and insight. USC and Notre Dame, for whatever reason, those two programs. All right, so Arizona at San Francisco. I mentioned key divisional matchups in week one. We had Kenny Clark, who was excellent. We had Devon Kennard, who was excellent. PJ Washington with a proposition whereby you can actually invest in him and his business. I've got a great podcast coming up. I want to hit that one more time. Episode 142, Drew Hanlon, NBA skills guru. He's got an amazing personal story, and he works with, among others, Joel Embiid. I want to talk to him about that, Jason Tatum, and more. So look for that later on. ATP is coming up next segment. Also, as I mentioned, it's weird to be talking about the NFL and not COVID and not racial injustice. I mean, these are the things, obviously, critical things, things that we need to talk about, things I want to talk about. And on top of that, nice to talk about the matchups. Nice to talk about some actual NFL news. Some of it's good news, some of it's bad news. And we will have that when we return. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help out with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. And now I've got a sports update. Here it is for you. Get to that ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Man, she's good. Hi, Jim. What is the worst business decision you have ever made? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary.
I love when you talk hockey.
That's a good one, B. Or she also writes, can you see yourself lending your name to a liquor product in the near future? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. That one's easier than the first one. Or how about I do a bonus and answer both? I had a friend once who was an entrepreneur and extremely successful and in some different businesses, and he literally, this was back in the day, he wanted to, and he had a winery, or was in the process of getting a winery, or starting a winery, and he wanted to start a brand of gin with my name on it. So to answer your question, B, I mean, could have happened, might still happen. Yeah, maybe. Maybe tequila. Although that space is crowded. Like, I don't want to go up against The Rock. That'd be tough. My man Jorge Masvidal is in the space, a similar space. Could I see myself lending my name to a liquor product? Yes. Yes. Although I've been more and more careful about my choices. What is the worst business decision that I've ever made? There have been some bad ones now, B. There have been some good ones, and there have been some bad ones. I've done pretty well in some of my real estate ventures, and I've gotten my ass kicked in a couple of them. But far and away, the worst business decision I ever made were the restaurants. The restaurants. And I'm not even talking about the restaurant where I was an investor, where I got crop dusted by a valet. That's not the worst. That was actually the only one that made money. That was good. The worst part about that, like anything else, gambling, our investment in the horses. When you have early success at something, you think it's easy, and that's the way it's always going to be. And the problem with that, the first restaurant that we invested in, Geisha House in Hollywood, was great. It was throwing off income. You know, check, 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 check. And aside from me getting crop dusted by the valet, it was a great experience. So at that point, I went back to the guys and I'm like, bros, this is fun, man. This is easy. I'm seeing income. Are there other things? And because so many of their other investors had the same experience that I had, they went back and said the same thing. So these guys quickly started to invest. Lots of things, lots of wares, lots of places. And then it went sideways. And we got our asses kicked. And never saw checks ever again. So that's easy, Bill, without question. I mean, that's not like some great earth-shattering thing. Like, it, really, Rome? Restaurants were not a good investment? What, nightclubs didn't want any of that? Horses didn't want any of that? Record companies didn't want any of that? And by the way, I've invested in all those things. I invested in a band. I invested in thoroughbred horses. I invested in restaurants. I invested in no nightclubs, luckily. But if you had gotten me back in the day, I would have. And a fair amount of real estate. Some of it really good and some of it really bad. Got our asses kicked on the restaurants. And I thought I was being smart. Like, I spread that bet out. A number of different restaurants in a number of different states. Location, location, location. I thought I was pretty smart. None of them hit. Except for Geisha. And like in thoroughbred racing, if you have one big horse, they can pay for all of the other ones. It's just really hard to find the one big one. That was not the case for me with the restaurants. That one little one didn't pay for any of the other ones. Keep them coming, B. Bella B is like the Joaquin of ATPs. Right when I think she's got nothing left and no other questions to ask, she gets right up in there again. Checking the phones. Let's see. Nothing especially interesting. Do you like anybody on hold, Adam? 1-800-636-8686. What the hell? We'll give it a shot. I'm leaving a lot of content on the floor, but I'm trying to get some new callers in here. I'm trying to get you some reps. You get comfortable. You get better. You make the show better. Maybe you shock the world and you rip a golden ticket. Let's go to Kansas City. Jungle has long been in KC. JJ in Kansas City. JJ, how are you?
Romy, I am great. My homie, let's rock. Dude, took your advice over this long holiday weekend. Took the deep dive on the Evergreen podcast, the Evergreen shows. So good. Except, late, what's my beef? Here it is, Chael Sonnen, and earlier in the show, how could anyone say they gave themselves cancer? God, this guy's an idiot. He's a moron. And then he came in the smack off with bad prison cigar smack, prison shirt smack. Here, let's rewind the podcast back to number 42, where Charles Barkley gave us the best lesson on how to talk to another professional athlete when he wrote Bill Laimbeer a little note. I'll adjust it for Chael. Dear Chael, bleep you, signed JJ. Don't worry. Chael idiot face is never going to hear this. Chael has way too much cauliflower in his ears. Too much bleeping cauliflower. Too bad that's the only vegetable getting near his pie hole these days. And I bet he shows it off on his dating profile, too. I guess that's okay, Chael, because you don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. Out.
JJ, way to get in under the buzzer.
JJ!
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 JJ! You know what? Like, I don't want to squash this guy's spirit. I don't want to snatch this guy's soul. Like, he's so into it. He's doing a deep dive on the podcast during the long holiday weekend. JJ!
JJ!
It was all right. Not really. Stay at it, man. That's all right. You just need reps. You just need reps. And settle down a little bit. You were super hyped up for that call, I can tell. I'm trying to get some new blood. I'm trying to get some different people to come in here. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. He went back to episode 42? Is that accurate? Was Charles Barkley on episode 42 of the podcast? If so, that's a deep pull. June 26, 2018. That's exactly a century ago. A pods. Episode 142 is later on today. Drew Hanlon, really interesting guest. You want to check that out? All right, this guy's not new blood necessarily, but doesn't spend a lot of time on the phone. So let's find out. We go back to my other home state, Wisconsin. Jared, you made it, Jared. What's up?
Not too much, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm all right, but I have to say I'm calling you out of concern. I saw a picture of you and Wells on Twitter last night, and it makes me think that you must have some sort of goal to punish every organ in your body. First, you were with Kyle in Green Bay. I know there's not enough bread in the world to fix the damage done to your liver during your time with him. I'm sure you cannot unsee the things you saw with him. Now you're with Wells, and your cholesterol is sure to skyrocket. Jim, heart disease is the number one killer in America. Be careful. God forbid you head to Albuquerque. There's no way your intestines would survive. Wisco loves you, but we're worried for you, Jim. War, you and the family visiting Wisconsin during the colder months. War back in and Jukebox Fridays. I'm out.
All right, you got it, Jared. Thank you very much. Just for the record, I'm not hanging out with Wells. Wells has got a cardboard cutout of me that he's borrowing from Kyle. So I wasn't rolling with Kyle either. They've got a cardboard cutout of me, and they're taking pictures of it. That's what that's all about. In terms of us coming back to Wisconsin in the cold weather months, Janet is going to make another run next week. And we've looked at the temps, dude. They're like in the 40s and 30s at night. I think technically for us Cali natives, those are the cold weather months. Let's go to New York. Rolling telephone calls in this last segment. Woody in New York. Woody, what's up?
Jimmy, thanks for the vine. Let me tell you, I called the show about a month ago. I was going to brag on my Yankees. I stayed on hold for 2 hours, never got through. Boy, how things have changed. In the last 20 or so games, I've watched our $300 million man pitch like it's batting practice. Our two glass towers, Judge and Stanton, sit on the sideline with lower body injuries. Our catcher, who leads the league in worst batting average, makes pop-ups look like astrophysics. This year's version of the next man up plays like single A version. And then you throw in our vaunted bullpen, who pitches like it's home run derby every time they take the field. And then you just throw in a manager who looks totally overwhelmed. It's just been an absolute brutal watch for someone that's been a Yankee fan for years on end. I never miss a game. It's just been absolutely brutal.
My man, Woody, I could not have said that any better myself. Rack him. He nailed that. He absolutely nailed the state of the Yankees. And when you say you never miss a game, I know you don't, because you just broke that thing down completely and perfectly. Nothing is going right for them. Like, if you had made that phone call when you meant to make that phone call, well, actually, you did make that phone call and didn't get on. But you're right. When you made that phone call, your Yankees were 10 games over 500. Your Yankees looked great. Your Yankees were a lock for the postseason in this shortened season. Not anymore, they're not. What's happened since then? You go right into the tank. Not only do you go into the tank, but that's where you live. You are paying rent there. You lose 15 of 20. That matches your worst stretch in the last two decades. That's Yankee baseball right now. A team that was cruising early on all of a sudden is holding on to that final gimmicky eighth playoff spot in the American League with less than 20 games to go. And you know what? You left out one thing. I said you nailed that thing perfectly and completely. You left out one thing. I love that Brian Cashman took that rare road trip to see his guys before the game as if Cash could somehow talk them out of this tailspin. Like, understand this about Cash. He doesn't do things like this. We're not talking about, like, Billy being a money ball. threatening the A's with a Louisville slugger and demanding that they stop bumping tunes after a loss. We're talking about a dude who firmly believes in leaving the clubhouse to the skipper. According to guys on that beat, reporters, Cash had not had this kind of talk with the team in more than a decade. Except, as you point out, desperate times call for desperate measures. So this guy heads up the highway to Western New York yesterday to see if he might get his guys to pull their heads out of their backsides. Best part of that is he wanted to have that talk on Monday morning, not on Tuesday. But because this is 2020, the Toronto Blue Jays of Canada play in Buffalo of the U.S., at a minor league ballpark, and there is no visitors clubhouse. So where is Cash going to tell his guys to pull their heads out of their backsides? A makeshift tent in the parking lot. All right, that's fine. It's 2020. Yeah, it was fine until he got there and realized it was too windy, and that if he was going to make this impassioned speech, they would not be able to hear a word he was saying because of the tarp that was blowing in the wind. So we had to delay it until yesterday. That's a real thing. Didn't work either. They got beat again.
You know, we've just been playing like crap.
That's Luke Voit. Hey, Luke, how you guys been playing? Like crap?
You know, we've just been playing like crap.
Dell's semi-annual sale was on with 45% off business laptops and desktops. With Intel Core processors, along with servers and electronics, all with free shipping, be sure you speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL, or visit dell.com/business deals. Well, that's a show. Kenny Clark, PJ Washington, Devon Kennard, me, the What's Your Beef segment, and a podcast episode with Drew Hanlon coming up a little bit later on. Look for that. See you. We're out.